You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Tony Javier. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for being on the show, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Tony is another member of the Collective Genius. His company is Professional Home Buyers. He's the sole owner. The company actually operates in three different markets, Wichita, Kansas City, and he's just recently started to open up Tampa. He's also just launched a new website for an educational program at realestateprodigy.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. And he's also just launched a podcast, Real Estate Prodigy Podcast. So again, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But Tony, I'd love to hear how you got started in real estate. I know you've been at this about 15 years. What were you doing before and how did you get into real estate?
Well, Ken, I was actually 20 years old when I saw a infomercial on TV for a no down payment system. And at the time I didn't have any money, was waiting tables and working a couple jobs and going to school. And luckily, I wasn't working a corporate job and I wasn't so deep in a career that, that I was scared to jump into it. But I was fascinated by what real estate could do, just with that little course that I bought, spent a couple $100. And
was that Carlton Sheets by chance?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's funny. That's how I got my start too. I loved the 10 CDs I bought at a garage sale at Carlton Sheets. I mean, it changed my life. So that's funny. I don't hear many people talking about Carlton Sheets because he's sort of old school, but yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great, man. You're only one of probably three or four people that I've met that have actually used that course. I've met probably 100 people that have said, oh, I bought that and say, oh, that really works. You know, it's, you know, obviously one of those things you have to take it and use it, right?
That's right. Absolutely. If anything, it was just learning the principles and understanding, you know, what all these different real estate terminology meant. It just, if anything, it kind of ignited in me a love for real estate, even more so than implementing some of his outdated strategies.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what it was all about. It wasn't anything that was like high level. It was just the basics of what real estate could do. And,
yep,
you know, the stuff that, you know, you're teaching and I'm teaching and, you know, some of the stuff that's out there is, you know, 10 times greater than, you know, what he had back then. But if you just take the basic principles and go with it and you're willing to put the work and effort into it, it can definitely work for anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem. So, yeah, I bought that course and within about 2 to 3 months, I had my first two properties, got my dad to co-sign on the first two or three properties that I bought, and didn't really look back from there. You know, got started raising money right off the bat, got a business partner that threw in some money and ended up buying him out a few short months or about a year later, learning experience, but ended up doing okay on that deal, came out with 10 properties. And since then, just been, you know, plugging away, buying and flipping properties and, figuring out how to systemize the business where I have it to now.
And so you've been doing this full time for how many years? 15 years?
I was part time for about a year to 2 years. And at the time I had my real estate license and was selling real estate part time. So it was probably about 4 years into the business. About 2005 is when I went into it full time, just investing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's actually the same year I went full-time into real estate as well, 2005. It's kind of an interesting time to go full-time, though. You've got about one or two really good years, and then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out. What did that look like for you?
Well, luckily, we were pretty protected. Wichita, Kansas, and Kansas City are pretty protected markets. Kansas City took a little bit of a hit, but I wasn't actually in the market at that time. I didn't get into Kansas City until about 5 years ago. But Wichita is one of those cities that appreciates about 2 to 3% a year, 4% on a good year. So when we took a quote unquote dip, we basically just leveled off and maybe took a 1% dip in our worst year. So,
wow.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. I had a ton of properties at that time and, It was actually good for us because that's when we started transitioning and doing a lot of rent-to-own properties, because we realized a lot of people were hurt by the credit and needing that kind of service.
Yep, yep. It's funny, I haven't talked to a lot of guys that have done rent-to-own on any sort of scale. And it's something, when I actually first got started, that was my primary model, was putting together these like lease purchases. Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you back in 2005 or 2007, probably, as the market was changing? What do your rent-to-owns look like? What's a typical deal for you guys in Kansas?
Well, it's funny because I look back on rent-to-own about 10 or 11 years ago when I did my first one. I had a buyer put down $1,000. They were not very qualified, and they ended up kind of trashing the property and kind of left me high and dry about a year later. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, about 10 years, and our rent-to-own deals look way different. We require more money down, so our typical deal is about 5% down. We do require a minimum of 3.5% down. So on a $100,000 property, let's say, we have anybody put down anywhere from $3,500, and even had people put down $20,000 to $30,000 on that type of deal.
Wow.
And they're much more qualified buyers than what I used to let in. I used to let anybody in the first, a few deals that I did on rent to own, but now I've got really good tenants, I've got great down payments, and the rent to own business is just unbelievable.
That's interesting. Because there's not many people that I know that are really working the rent to own. And so all these rent to owns, you're keeping yourself, you typically have bank financing underneath?
Yeah, we do cash or private money on our purchases, and then if we decide to keep it on a rent to own after we're done renovating the property, then we'll put it on long term financing.
I gotcha. And how many at any given point in time do you have in portfolio?
I've got about 80 properties right now in my portfolio, and I'd say about 75% of those are rent to own properties.
Man. Okay, so let's talk about your typical rent-to-own terms. They're putting 3.5% to 5% down, which is great. That kind of skin in the game keeps them locked in. Mm-hmm. And then how many years, and what's the buyback typically?
Well, like you said, there's not very many people that do rent-to-own, and what we've done very well over the last few years is get it very systemized. So we do a lot of marketing to find those good buyers. I've got a dedicated customer service manager that actually answers all the phone calls and pre-qualifies all of those buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them in a category, when I say category, we put them in time frames. So she'll come to me and she'll say, hey, on this property on Kokomo, we've got a buyer that's about 6 months away from financing. She'll usually say 6 to 12 months to give it a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say they have $5,000 down. Are you good with doing that? And, I say yes or no. But that's our typical deal, is really 6 to 12 months. The next category is probably 12 to 24 months, where someone, if they really got after it, paid down some credit cards, paid off some collections, made their payments on time for 12 months, they could get financing. But typically those people don't do it perfectly. And they're usually about 18 to 24 months. So anywhere from 6 to 24 months is our typical rent to own.
And are you putting these folks into any sort of credit counseling to help them get the credit right? Because you and I both know if they're not getting help, chances are nothing's going to change.
Well, that's why we've had such good success on our rent to own. Nationally, I think it's less than 10% of people that are in rent to own actually finance and get the investor out of the deal. I think, I haven't looked at my numbers in a couple of years, but I think just running some rough numbers, we're at like 70% on our rent-to-own success.
Holy cow.
And, a lot of that was not credit counseling, but more accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So my customer service manager would say, okay, our lender has said that if you do this, this, and this within 12 months, you should get financing. So she actually just follows up with them every, 3 to 6 months, depending on how tough a candidate they are, and just make sure that they're doing what they need to do.
Okay. And so that's a person in-house that's doing that for you, that's actually following up, saying, hey, have you paid this off? Have you opened up this new credit? Kind of steering them on what to do?
That's correct.
Interesting. Because in the past, we'll hook them up with a loan officer and then just kind of hope that loan officer, stays in touch with them and follows up with them, helps them do what they need to do. Because obviously there's a payday for that loan officer when they get them mm-hmm. financeable, but you know, the reality is that rarely happens that they stay in touch that well. So it makes sense to bring that in-house.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind them falling through and not buying the property, which we don't mind them falling through. I mean, if they don't do their deal, then we'll take the property back and find someone else that wants to work the program. But really what we're trying to do is we're trying to really help people get into these houses and create a name for ourselves. In fact, we, you know, at some point in the near future, would love to be a national brand where people could say, you know, if you want to own a home and don't have the credit, you know, go to professional home buyers and they'll help you. So we get a lot of referrals. We get a lot of people that say, hey, you know, this company really helped us get into this house. And it's really created a really good name for us in the markets that we're in.
Interesting. So when you put somebody in a, like in a lease purchase situation, are you typically then selling it to them for more than what you would normally have gotten on like a fix and flip?
Well, that's the great thing about rent to own is, you know, we've changed our model with buying over the last just few months. If you look at, and I wish I had the spreadsheet in front of me to show you, but if we were to look at what we make on a fix and flip compared to a rent to own, let's say a $70,000 house, mm-hmm. We flip that, we usually make around $20,000 on that type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
On rent to own, we can actually make closer to $30,000 on that deal because we may get a little bit of a higher purchase price. We usually don't overprice our properties. We get full price if we do a rent to own, whereas if we fix and flip, they may negotiate, you know, 3-5% down possibly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to pay 3% realtor commission on the other side.
That's right.
We don't have to pay 3% in buyer paid or seller paid closing costs for the buyer. So that's 6% right off the top there. And then on top of that, we sell quicker, less holding costs. And I'm sure there's some other benefits that I'm leaving out there, but yeah, just so many more benefits to rent down compared to a fix and flip.
Well, and the cash flow too, if you keep it for 12, 24 months, yeah. You know, and you've got good underlying financing, you're making money just while they're renting it.
Absolutely. And then if you keep it more than 12 months, then the IRS says that you can do a 1031 exchange and transfer that into another property and defer the gains to a later future.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. You can do a 1031 with those as well. I tell you, the key to that, to making that model work, though, is having some good financing. If you want to scale it up in any way, it's tough to do it if you've got private money, I would imagine. If you're sitting at 12 or 13 or 14% interest, you know, you might be breaking even in the meantime, but that's tough to put together. But if you've got some good banking relationships and can get some, you know, 5% money that you can sit on these things and scale it up, then it's a killer model. And it sounds like that's what you've done.
Yeah, no doubt. We do pay 12% on our private money, so we give our lenders a great return for using their money for a, you know, short period of time. But yeah, bank financing, you know, cuts that interest rate in less than half. But even if you had private money and that's all you could do, if you found a 6-12 month rent to own and wanted to, you know, break even cash flow for that bigger payday at the end, it's not something I necessarily recommend, but if you had to do that, you could. But definitely having bank relationships helps out with that cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about your folks that get to the end of 24 months and for whatever reason their credit's not fixed? What do you typically do with those folks?
Well, it just depends. It's case by case. So, you know, if my customer service manager calls someone and says, hey, and they say we're working on this and we paid this down, we're just waiting for you know, something to report, or we're waiting for, you know, a few more months of payment history to get our credit score where it needs to be, and we really feel like they're trying, we'll give them, you know, ample opportunity. We're not just going to kick them out after 12 months if that's our agreement.
Right.
But if someone's saying, you know, hey, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, and, you know, making every excuse in the book, then, you know, chances are we'll either keep them in the property and just let them pay rent, and then maybe, you know, finance in the future. Or if we feel like they're not taking care of the property and not doing what they're supposed to, then we'll ask them to move.
And I bet that's tricky too. If they've put up some earnest money and they've been there for 2 years, they kind of thought it was their house, and all of a sudden now they're being asked to move. I'm sure that's not a fun conversation.
No, it's not. But my team does a really good job of making sure up front that they know the consequences, they know what they need to do. We follow up with them so that they have no excuse of, well, you didn't tell us we were supposed to do this or that. And our customer service is overall is just awesome. If, you know, they call with an issue, we're on it right away. We've got 7 maintenance guys on staff. And, you know, if you treat a customer really well and they don't do what they're supposed to be doing, then chances are you probably won't have an issue. But you're right. If you're not taking care of them and they feel like you're taking advantage of them and you try and kick them out, then obviously there's going to be some lashback and, you know, some issues. But luckily we've only had issues with maybe a couple people in the past that have raised a fit and given us a lot of trouble when we asked them to move.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So let's talk about how you're acquiring these properties. What are some of your main strategies for getting properties in Kansas and now in Tampa?
Well, I'm one of only a couple other guys that I know that have done really well with TV, but TV has been a great source for us in the last 2 years. I think I started about 2.5 years ago doing TV. So we get a lot of traction off TV and a lot of leads. So I think that's our number one off-market source right now. We do still get a lot of deals through the MLS. The MLS, we, you know, is very competitive. So we have to find the properties that no one wants because they have major foundation issues or they have terrible floor plans where we can go in and knock a few walls out, add a bedroom, add a bathroom, finish a basement or something that, you know, some people don't like to get into. So that's still a pretty good source for us, the MLS. We do some mailers and postcards, not as many as we'd like to, but we still get some leads off of that. And we also pay for ads. This can be kind of expensive, but my new general manager, I say new, he's been with me almost 2 years now, has a lot of knowledge in Google pay-per-click ads. So we put together a pretty good campaign where we get a few deals a year off of Google pay-per-click campaigns as well.
Okay. It's funny because I've talked to a handful of people and it's always mixed results. I think you just have to be really dialed in with your campaigns and your keywords and how much you're spending and making sure you're getting deals off of it. I'm sure it can work if you're really on top of it. It sounds like you're making it work.
Yeah, anything with marketing, you just have to track it and tweak it. You know, obviously if you're, you know, throwing a bunch of stuff out there and you're not tracking your calls, see how many leads are coming in and, you know, when you're closing deals, make sure you know where they come from. You know, as long as you're doing that stuff on the back end, you can, you know, figure out what's working, what's not, and you have to consistently, you know, tweak what you're doing and be consistent overall in everything that you're doing in a whole, or else if you just throw out a couple postcards and then, you know, think your phone's going to start ringing, you know, you've got to consistently be sending out those postcards in order for the leads to really come in.
That's right. So, you know, I'm curious, I know another guy in CG that's doing really well with TV ads. What does that look, what's your budget? How do you even determine where these leads are coming from and what your ROI is? It always sort of seems a little scary because most people that are doing TV spend, you know, a considerable amount a month and can't always track back where their leads are coming from.
Well, we have tracking numbers for everything we do. So we've got, I don't know, 10 or 12 numbers at any time that are out there between TV and internet and postcards and anything else we do. So we're able to track how many calls are coming in off each lead source. And that way we know, you know, what our cost per lead is. And then when we are able to put the deal under contract, we know exactly where it came from. And you can always ask them too if you don't have a tracking source or a tracking number. And then you just, you know, calculate your return on investment. And some people will look at their numbers and say, man, I got 100 leads from, you know, postcards last month or last year or whatever the number is. But you have to look at how quality the leads are. If you, you know, you're getting hundreds of leads through postcards, but you haven't purchased one property, that means your list probably isn't the greatest. You need to get a little bit more targeted, or, you know, find a better source of leads.
Yeah, absolutely. So for TV, is that like an ad that you guys did yourself in house?
Yeah, I write the script for all of my ads. And we've tested, I don't know, 5 different ads, on TV so far. And we go back to the very first one I ever created. It's very simple. It's, you know, we'll buy your house cash as is, quick closing. It's a 30-second spot, gets the point across. And it's funny because I've changed it to where, you know, in the ad, I'm very, you can kind of tell my demeanor. I'm very even keel. I'm just, you know, tell it how it is. And that's how I am in my first ad that I did, and it did very well. But someone told me to spunk it up a little bit. So I went in and kind of like a car salesman and kind of did some hypey, like, you know, throwing my hands around right. And, you know, we want you type the deal.
Yeah.
Our call volume just dropped like crazy. And so that happened for a month, flipped it back over to the other commercial, and our calls went right back up to where it was.
That's funny how sensitive people are to that sort of thing.
Right. So that's one of the things you have to look at with tracking is, you know, if something's not working, you need to change it.
Any idea what your cost per lead is for TV?
Oh man, that's a Leon question, my general manager. I think our cost per lead is high. I think it's like our cost per acquisition is like a little over $3,000, I want to say.
Okay.
For TV.
Yep.
I'm not sure what the cost per lead. I think it's around $100. I'm just throwing these numbers out just kind of off memory.
Okay.
But I think our leads are anywhere from $50 to $100 a pop.
Yep.
TV is a more expensive cost per acquisition, but the first deal I ever did off TV, I made like $40,000. So,
wow. Yeah.
When you look at spending $3,000 on an acquisition and making 40, those are good numbers all day long.
Well, absolutely. Well, that brings me to my next question then. You know, over the last 10 years, you've been full time at this. Is there one deal that stands out to you as sort of your best deal ever?
Yeah. You know, we've done hundreds of deals. I would say just going back, looking at the best deal ever is probably the one that was the easiest for us. So I had a guy call me, and he wanted 60,000 on this house, and it was in another city. It was 2 hours away, and I was like, you know what, this property's taxed appraised at 90. I'm not real familiar with the town. I just don't know if I want to even look at this deal. So he calls back again a week later, and he says, you know, I've got to sell this deal. I'll take 50 for it. And I'm like, I'm just not sure. Calls back a week later and says, I'll tell you what. He goes, I need the money now. Give me $25,000 and it's yours. And so I basically wrote the check without even looking at it. I actually had my mother-in-law at the time was in that city because that's where she was originally from, and drove by, and she said, you need to buy this house now. She goes, in good shape, this will be worth probably $100,000, and it doesn't even look like it's in that bad of shape. So bought it for $25,000 and went, looked at it. All it needed was cleaning up and someone could go in and occupy it. So I spent, I don't know, a full day with a couple of guys in there just cleaning it out, put it back on the market and sold it for $65,000 without even doing any renovations.
Nice. Those are the best, right? We call those flops when we don't have to do anything. We're not flipping them because we're not fixing them up. We're just putting them right back on the market and selling them. So you just cleaned it out, put it on the MLS, and that was it.
That's it. Made 30 some grand with just cleaning that deal out. And that actually came off the, that actually came out of the phone book.
Really? Oh, the lead, he found you through the phone book?
Yep. That's when the phone book, that's actually where I got my start, was my general manager that I hired. He sold phone book advertising for a long time, and he sold that ad to me in 2003. And every year I just kept upping it until about 3 years ago when the phone book kind of started going away. But yeah, that deal was probably 7 or 8 years ago when the phone book was still hot and heavy.
Wow. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that got a deal out of the phone book. That's awesome. And it ends up being your best deal.
Yeah, I used to kill it in the phone book.
That's crazy. Interesting. So yeah, you gotta love that, buying it for $25,000 and make $35,000 without touching it.
Absolutely. Nothing better than that.
So Tony, talk to us about your new podcast that you're launching and the new website.
Yeah. So basically, you know, I've been wanting to get into the educational business for a long time, teaching people to do what I do. And it's only been until the last year or so where I've got my business back in Wichita, in Kansas City, running itself, to where I could, you know, work on other businesses and do other things. So I've spent the last 6 months or so developing a new platform for Real Estate Prodigy, which is basically taking all of my systems and tools and documents, forms, marketing materials, basically anything you would need to run a real estate business, putting it on one platform and partnering that with a lot of educational materials that we're putting together, just to show people to do what we're doing. Because, you know, if I wouldn't, or if Carlton Sheets 15 years ago wouldn't have had that course out there for me to buy, I wouldn't be where I am now, where, sure, you know, I'm 35 years old, I can travel anywhere I want to, work anywhere I want to, and almost retire and not have to work another day in my life. And I just want to be able to give that back to other people and create another business opportunity out of that. So we'll be launching that here in the next week or two.
Man, that's fantastic. And the website, again, is realestateprodigy.com. And the podcast, I'm assuming, we'll be able to just search Real Estate Prodigy and find the podcast on iTunes.
Yep, just search iTunes. It'll be up here pretty soon. And actually, the better link to go to would be getmyprodigy.com.
Okay.
And that'll be a better way to get through there. And we'll have some special things for you. So
getmyprodigy.com. And we'll put this on the show notes, folks, as well, if you're interested. Getmyprodigy.com. Tony, thanks again for being on the show. This was fantastic.
Thanks a lot, Ken. I appreciate you and everything you're doing there.
Take care, buddy. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out. You can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name, address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.